Okay, I don't know how much you're giving, I don't know what you're praying, and I don't know how often you're fasting. And that is just as it should be. But God knows how much you're giving, God knows what you're praying, and God knows how often you're fasting. And our instincts when we hear that are probably to feel a bit guilty, because we tend to do that. So we tend to think, well, others are probably doing those things much more than me, like it's a competition. But when Jesus talks about these things, giving, praying, fasting, he shifts the focus from how we are performing religious duties to an invitation to experience a deeper life with God the Father as we do these things. Complete shift of motive and focus. So these things, give, pray, fast, they are not for show for others. It's not to impress other people. Neither is it for self-satisfaction. I do these things so I can feel good about myself. These things are for God. For God. In Matthew 5, we found that the kingdom of God that Jesus brings is an upside down and an inside out kingdom. So Jesus brings an inner transformation of the heart that leads to an outer change in ourselves and in the world around us as we reverse the values that we see in the world. Chapter 5 dealt with a lot of internal heart stuff. A lot about attitudes, a lot about commitments towards others. Now in chapter 6, Jesus turns to some of the more external actions that were part of the Jewish faith of his listeners, giving, praying, and fasting. And he shows us how following him reshapes public religion. So if these people are used to giving, praying, and fasting, what part has that got in the kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about? With Jesus' arrival on the scene, is this still part of life? How? Why? That's what we're thinking about. Let's start with a few things that Jesus says about all of this stuff, giving, praying, fasting, before we take a closer look at each one. So firstly, all of these things, giving, praying, and fasting, are to be part of following Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, if you give, pray, fast. He says, when you give, verse 2. When you pray, verse 5. When you fast, verse 16. So we can hear that and we can think, oh, well, I'm not doing any of those. So I'm failing as a disciple of Jesus then. I'm going to encourage us to see the goodness in all three of these things, giving, praying, fasting, whether we are in them just now or not. But let's not despair about our starting points on this. And that will vary amongst us too. Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience. They were all used to these three things being part of everyday life and worship. Most of us have not started from the same place. I would be surprised if many of us are used to fasting at all. Most of us probably feel a little bit shaky on giving and praying as well. So whatever the starting point for you, whether it's, well, I've been doing all these things all of my life, or whether it's, I wouldn't know where to begin with any of them, the point that Jesus makes about all these three things that are part of our life following him is the motive underneath them. So all of these things, giving, praying, and fasting, they're to be directed to God the Father. So who are you doing these things for when you give? When you give, who is that for? Is it about applause? So that's been seen by others for doing these righteous sorts of things. Is it about duty? Because it's just the right thing to do. Is it about social expectation? You know, the world doesn't expect us to be giving, praying, fasting, but your social expectation is formed by the people that you spend a lot of time with, and well, you guys spend a lot of time with church people. So is it about social expectation? Doing it because others around you are doing it, so you figure you better do it too? Or is it about just, it's a habit? This is an automatic thing. I've been doing these things for years, and it's just years of inbuilt tradition. I just keep going. So none of those things are the motive for giving, praying, or fasting. Jesus reminds us that these actions are acts of worship. They are for God the Father. For God the Father. One of the revolutionary things that Jesus did in preaching the Sermon on the Mount was to call God Abba, Father, Daddy. And his listeners would have thought, how can he do that? How can he call God Dad? This is Yahweh. This is the God we cannot name with our breath. He is too other from us. But Jesus says, I call him Dad. And more than that, he says, you call him Dad too. I invite you to know my Father as your Father. Abba, Daddy. Come into the family. Grow in the family likeness. And enjoy life with God as our good, good Father. We've just sung about that. That's what Jesus does in the Sermon on the Mount. If you follow me, that's what this is about. It's about knowing God as Dad. And he speaks loads in the sermon about your Heavenly Father. And he does that mostly, most intensely, here in this passage, on giving, praying, and fasting. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that these things are expressions of our love to Father God in that relationship. And if they are not that, they become traps for hypocrisy, as Jesus warns us. So here's a question. Jesus says in 6 verse 1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others to be seen by them. But wait a minute. He said in chapter 5 verse 16, well done those of you with good memories that are going, wait a minute. He said in 5:16, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So does Jesus want us to show our good deeds or hide our good deeds? Which is it? What it comes down to is who's getting the attention. In everything, the point is to turn eyes towards God. When what we do causes others to look to God, let it shine. Let it shine. But when what we do causes others to look at us, quiet down. A.B. Bruce offered this advice. And you can sort of work out how this applies in your life. Show when tempted to hide. Hide when tempted to show. It's all to be directed to God the Father. All of these things, giving, praying, and fasting, are to be rewarded. There's two sorts of rewards that Jesus talks about when he spoke here. If you do these things for others to see, the way that people look at you is the reward that you get. Now, there is some very short-term hit in people looking at you and you imagining that they're thinking, what a great guy. When they're actually at least as likely to be thinking, what a pompous show-off. But Jesus says explicitly in verse 1, let me read it again. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others to be seen by them. Because if you do, you will have no rewards from your Father in heaven. So to have that worldly rewards around, oh, I give and I pray and I fast, is to cut out the reward from God that Jesus describes for the discreet. we get rewarded. There is a reward. God wants to give us a reward. We Christians do get nervous talking about being rewarded by God, don't we? Because we're rightly wary of it sometimes. Surely the gospel says we don't deserve anything. It's all by God's grace that we are saved and that we receive anything from him. We are rightly wary of those voices that sometimes sound that say, if you live God's way, then he'll give us material blessings. So isn't it a bit dangerous to talk about rewards in case people get the wrong end of the stick? Thing is, people hear reward and they see pound signs. But the gospel talks about reward. To deny that is to deny the words of Jesus in this passage. We can't say the gospel doesn't say that if Jesus says that. There is reward. There is reward for us from God the Father in living out a giving, praying, fasting life. Read verse 4, verse 6, verse 18. Your heavenly Father will reward you. But it's not a material reward. In a couple of weeks, Ken will be preaching on the next part of this passage, where Jesus tells us not to store up treasures in the world that wear out and end, but to store up treasures in heaven, with our heart in God and God in our heart. The rewards that Jesus is talking about is not material. When I was out on a bike ride with Matthew and Jeff yesterday, or Jeff, as Anna calls him for some reason, and Matthew likes to take us up hills, which I don't like. It's very hard. And so Matthew will go up the hill very, very nippy, that's fine. And then Jeff will be just a wee bit after him. And then about half an hour later, I come chuntering up the hill, out of breath, red-faced, and it's hard. There's a bit of putting a bit of effort into that. And then we get to the top, and Matthew's had half an hour's rest, so he's fine. And they're happy to give me about 30 seconds before we go again. And then we drop down the descent into the valley, and I hear Jeff, by this time I've gone past Jeff, just for a second, and I hear Jeff behind me going, wow, as he sees the reward. You know, you make the climb, you get the reward. There were no pound signs involved in this either, but there was that reward of, we've earned this, and let's go. And the beauty that unfolded in that vista as we went down, down the hill, into the valley, towards Far, great. The rewards that come from God the Father are of heart growth, in the likeness of Jesus, in becoming more like the people that God is remaking us to be. Like, if you can picture, there is a day that God's going to perfect you, the perfect Matthew, the perfect Andrea. And the reward is becoming more that person as we grow spiritually. There's an investment in that. There's a bit of putting into it, like the climbing of the hill. Giving, praying, fasting, it takes a bit. But there is reward in the spiritual growth. And it really is a beautiful vista as we see more and more of it going through our Christian lives together. I'm going to pause here and ask you a question. It's a personal question. And so you may just want to reflect on this quietly today. For those very talkative people that would actually prefer to chat, you can do that if the person next to you is happy. But just take a quiet moment to reflect. Giving, praying, fasting. What motives need to change? So where am I doing these things? And actually it's become about applause or habit, or it's become about social expectation, whatever. Where does the motive need to change? What actions need to change? Where am I not doing this? And so what needs to change about that? A wee minute just to reflect and catch your breath. Okay. Let's just have a closer look at each of these three things that Jesus talks about. In verses 2 to 4, it's giving. So giving is about giving up attention. The obvious thing to say is it's about giving up money, and it is. But there's something deeper underneath that too. To give is to deliberately lift our eyes off of ourselves and our own needs. It is to notice the need in the other. And it's an action that says to God the Father in worship, I notice, I care, and I'll express your heart to help here. See, if we don't give, we're just putting all of the attention on ourselves. To put all of our money on ourselves is just to put the attention on ourselves, our needs, our desires, our goals. And especially in a cost of living crisis, it is easy and easier to default to that. I actually do just need all of this. But you see, what that does is it just means that we don't put any attention on the needs of others. Putting some of our money in discreet worshipful giving is to lift some of the attention off of ourselves. And Jesus is talking about giving to the needy. So I could be a little bit disingenuous and keep speaking about giving as if it's about giving to the church. And that would be an excellent follow-up after Matthew's finance report last week. But that's in other passages for other times. The focus here is giving to the needy. It's giving that is full of care, that notices a need and meets it, or at least contributes to it. Full of care. And if you're going to start it, or you're going to get more focused on it, let me encourage you to be thoughtful and careful, as well as full of care. Locally and internationally, there are organizations who are meeting need long-term, sustainable and impactful ways, where sometimes well-meaning one-off gestures don't help and sometimes can harm. Locally, there are many that you could give to. Just ones that cross my mind and conscience often would be Inverness Foodstuffs, Blythewood Food Bank, Inverness Women's Aid. Internationally, there are many organizations who are meeting need, many in Christ's name. Again, it's just what's on my mind is I find Tear Fund, International Justice Mission, and Compassion to be very, very helpful outlets for that. Others will have others. And it's not that I'm saying, well, you have to give to a charity or a group for them to take care of the stuff. But it is helpful to think about where are others already breaking the ground and know the relationships and understand the need more. And how can we help with that? There's also just that, like, my neighbor's in need. I could help. They could do with a meal. I'll make them a meal. You know, there's that. I'm actually 10 quid short to get that train home. Well, here's a tenner. In verses 5 to 15, Jesus teaches us how to pray. What's praying about? Praying is about giving up control. It's not babbling on and repeating a phrase until God does what we want. When I was probably your age, Jessica, like I just kept praying and praying and praying the same thing and like until God hears it and does it. But it's not that. It's not I need to pray this same prayer on and on until God does what I want. Instead, it's expressing that revolutionary truth that Jesus showed us, that God is the Heavenly Father that we trust. It is coming to say, our Father. It's placing our lives in His hands. It's starting with God, not us. You listen to the Lord's Prayer. What's the first half about? May you get the glory. May you be called holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We start with God, not us. And then it is relying on God for our stuff, His provision, His grace, His guidance. Give us all we need for today. Forgive us for the sin that you see all of. Steer us away from where evil would drag us. So all of this is submitting control of our lives, of our destinies, of our choices to Father God. Dad, what do you want? Dad, will you provide? It's to give up independence, that much cherished God that we can default to worship in this world, And it is to believe and to say, God, it's actually better to depend on you. It's letting go also of our grudges and our guilt. Jesus is emphatic about forgiveness being something we both receive from God and we give to others. Because it is the thing that he goes over again in verses 14 to 15. We've got the Lord's Prayer. Okay, guys, I've taught you how to pray. Let me just come back to that one on forgiveness. If you're going to be forgiven by God, you need to also forgive others. I assume you've forgiven others if you expect to receive forgiveness from God. It's the way around it puts it. You can't live with the reward of freedom and lightness from your own guilt if you don't also live with the freedom and lightness that comes from forgiving others. The grudges and the guilt live and die together. They're both things that we're strangely drawn to, are they not? Because we think that they define us. I've heard a few people say this. Because they think, who am I if I don't have this? Because we think that holding them where we want means that we're in control. But Jesus teaches us that prayer releases control. And it lets God the Father hold and heal. Prayer isn't just private. Jesus is not teaching us here not to pray together. When he says, go to your own room and pray a prayer and don't show off in front of others with your prayers. In fact, when he teaches our Father, he's teaching us how to pray together. That's why we do that as a church, why we did it today. When he tells us in verse 6, go into your own room, close the door and pray to the unseen Father. That's a call to stop praying prayers in front of others to show off to them. I think we all know those prayers, don't we, where you've been in a prayer meeting or in a church and someone prays a prayer and you think to yourself, is that to God or is that for us? And actually, when we are praying prayers together or for others, can we be really conscious that we are directing it to God? Others are listening, and we hope that as we lead a prayer, it helps others to also look to God. But those prayers that are like an extra wee sermon or wanting to get my opinion across, we all hear, and I've done this as well, right? We all hear it though, and we're like, "That's who's that for?" Let's make sure our prayers together are to God. Most people that Jesus was speaking to here in this Sermon on the Mount did not have their own room to go and be alone in. So what he's teaching us is to go to the secret place of our heart and pray from there. Whether that's alone in a quiet time in a room in your house or whether it's in church groups praying together, we pray from there, the secret place of the heart. Nearly there, folks. Verses 16 to 18, Jesus teaches on fasting. And fasting is giving up time. Again, the obvious thing to say is it's giving up food, and it is. But what comes from that self-denial, is an offering of other things to God. Devotion, like I love you, God, more than food. Trust, like I'm going to be okay without this meal. And time. Time's a big one. I've actually got a bit more time now just to sit down and pray and seek God. In the Bible, it's often done in a season of crisis or crossroads. A national emergency, like when Esther and God's people are called to fast. Or the king of Nineveh leading his nation in repentance when Jonah says, this place is about to go down. Or a time of individual preparation for a new thing coming. Like Jesus in the desert fasting before his public ministry began. Sometimes fasting is done in a time of mourning or ahead of a big decision being made. in all of these things, fasting, it's an expression towards God of the belief that we need him even more than food and drink. Now, that is what Jesus quotes when he's fasting and the devil's tempting him to eat. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's Jesus turning to a need to focus on God the Father right now. And it is fine to say these things in theory. It's fine for us to say, yes, I love God more than food. But fasting is a kind of a more than words way of expressing that. It's also a gift of time that's given to prayer that really seeks God. So instead of the time, it's often more time than you think is used in the preparation and the consuming and the tidying up of food. And that time being given to God in a special, I'm seeking you here way, without distraction, but also without distracting others. So it's not kind of a case of if you're normally at the dinner table at 6 o'clock with your family going, no, I'm going to leave it, guys. I'm just off to fast. That's not how to do it. Like everything else in this teaching, Jesus calls us not to make a fuss over it or to do it in a way that points out to everyone that we're doing it. When he says in verse 17, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, you might be thinking, right, where did I put the vegetable oil in the cupboard? I need to pour that on my face before I don't eat food. That's not a thing. This is not a religious action, it's a social one. In that culture, the kind of the putting on of oil was a bit of an expression of, let's live life, let's have some fun, let's enjoy everyday life. So what Jesus is actually saying is, just get on with enjoying life in such a way that other people aren't noticing something's different, right? So get on with your life, get on with your day, and don't be going about just doing some fasting for the next 24 hours or all of that kind of stuff. If doing it causes any distraction to others, it's not appropriate, don't do it. If doing it creates a medical risk for you, it's not appropriate, don't do it. But if doing it quietly in the midst of your everyday life gives just that opportunity to put aside some time and to really seek God, then here is a great way to grow in life with him. It's that climbing the hill thing of, let's put a bit into that. There is reward. There is spiritual growth in this. There is a view. There is a view to be gained. If you want somewhere practical to start with this, let me make this suggestion. Do it once. Miss one meal, not three. It's like when some people start reading the Bible. I'm just going to read the Bible, Scott. Usually these are people that aren't Christians. Like, I'm just going to read it then. And they start plowing through Genesis and they get halfway through Exodus and I'm done now. So don't go like, I'm going to fast for a week. I'm going to fast for a whole day. Just miss one meal. And it's not for calorie control. So don't make it about that. How my heart has sank. When I've heard other people say, oh, I've been doing a bit of fasting. Well, don't tell me. It's good. It's good for the figure. No, it's not. That's absolutely not the point of it. Don't make it about that. I'd suggest lunch because it's the one that you're most likely to be able to put quietly aside without a big explanation to others at the breakfast table or the dinner table. And have a good breakfast at the start of the day if you're planning to do it. Fill up. And just put that time at lunch aside to seek God that day and see what the view might be like afterwards. Right, give, pray, fast. Wherever you are with these three things now, let me encourage you to live out these things. Because Jesus teaches his disciples to do them. Get started with them, quietly, without making a fuss. But if you've got any questions, if you want to chat about it at all, then chat to me about it. It's what I'm here for, and we can do that quietly too. Give it to God. Make sure that the motive for doing these things is to worship him, is to grow in your relationship with him and your likeness to him. I read this week that hypocrisy that Jesus is challenging here is doing the right things for the wrong reasons. So let our reason for giving, praying, and fasting be we're choosing to start with God, not us. And believe, folks, that there is reward in it, that God the Father sees and he smiles. Jesus encourages us to believe that for all three of these things, that your giving and your praying and your fasting are seen by him, because it's for his attention, not anybody else's. And he's pleased to see it, and he does smile upon you each time you give, each time you pray, each time you fast. Amen.